Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. It is the Savage Nation. It's not snowing out here on the West Coast. Sorry if you're in a blizzard. I can't help it. Caused by global warming. You see, it's all those melting glaciers in the Himalayas that are causing the snow to fall in Washington, D.C. Just ask Al Gore when you can find them. Or ask Obama where the snow is coming from. The schmucks on the left are actually saying that the blizzards of the East are caused by global warming. It's astounding to me how far these lunatics will go. I told you, liberalism is a mental disorder. Beginning with that wonderful statement, let's go on to the next one. Michelle Obama says obesity is the greatest threat to America's children. Obesity is a threat to national security. Not Al-Qaeda, not a dirty nuke. Not an anthrax attack. No, but obesity. That's right. That's the real threat to the children of the United States of America. You don't believe me? Well, listen to what my good friend created just for you here on the Savage Nation. And before you play it, guys, before you play it, I want to alert my listeners from New York, San Francisco, Boston, Texas, wherever. All of my affiliates across America. Everyone's tuning in. They're all loving the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I want to say something to all of you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting the show. Now listen to David.
This is Grim Hancock with a special report from Michael Savage. Today, Michelle Obama announced that obesity was America's greatest threat.
We're all here today because we care deeply about the health and well-being for all kids across the country. And clearly, we're determined to finally take on one of the most serious threats to their future. And that's the epidemic of childhood obesity in America today.
After hearing this, the president of Iran has decided to change his plan. He will no longer equip his missiles with nuclear warheads. Instead, he will put jelly-filled donuts packed in white confection sugar and bombard the schoolyards of America. Sugar more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Absolutely shocking. Back to you, Michael Savage.
You see, the White House is in denial about the threat of Islamic fascism. You know there was a Fort Hood massacre not too long ago. What you don't know is that the Army was warned about this jihadist threat within its own ranks back in 2008. At a conference almost 2 years ago, at a gathering organized by the Army's Provost Marshal General, Army officers were told that there were strategic deficiencies in the military's comprehension of the overall threat of Muslims and the jihadists in the military itself. And that is why the Fort Hood massacre occurred. In fact, after the massacre, you saw how clueless the defense secretary was. You saw how clueless the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was. When a reporter actually asked the defense secretary if this was an act of holy war or jihad, the defense secretary had the nerve to say, oh, I'm not even going there. We're still conducting an investigation. Now, this is after 11 or 12 people were killed in cold blood. I think 30 were wounded. The man who's in charge of the entire military has nothing to say about a guy who shows up in a holy white outfit, jumps up on a desk and screams Allah Akbar, and then shoots and kills 12, 13 soldiers, kills women, kills men, and is stopped not by the military, but by two police who come in and shoot him. This is who's running the military. Why? Because he's a political eunuch. He has been turned into a political eunuch first by George Bush and now by Barack Obama in the opinions of millions of people, including thousands in the military who know this. They know the danger they are. If you think that Major Hassan was the first and he is the last, I have another guest coming for you. Major Hassan was the first, but not the last. And speaking of which, tomorrow, Iran has threatened to give the West a punch in the mouth that we will never forget. Now, I realize this will go over big in Marin County and San Francisco and the Upper East Side of New York, that people would welcome a punch in the mouth. They would say we deserve it because, well, they don't know why, but America's no good. You've heard of xenophobia, haven't you? Xenophobia is what they accuse rubes of being, afraid of the foreigner. Well, I've come up with another illness that ought to go into the DSM, which is the liberals' love for things foreign and the hatred for things native. That, to me, is an illness unto itself. Why do the libs of San Francisco, New York, and the other denizens of insanity have such a love affair with the third world while living here in the United States of America? Why do they hate everything American? That's something only a psychiatrist can figure out. But unfortunately, most psychiatrists themselves are mentally ill. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Again, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I want to go to my website, and I want to pick up some major articles. And I know this one was controversial yesterday, and that is my headline, Palin Stands by Her Palm. I realize you, some of you will think it's cruel, but yesterday we discussed this question, is Palin electable? I said to you that I personally don't know Sarah Palin. I'm sure she's a good woman. Her heart's in the right place. Her politics are probably conservative, but my point was is that she's not electable. She is not electable for many different reasons. And since Obama's greatest weakness is his inexperience, you cannot run an inexperienced individual against him and expect her to win. There are other people who are far more experienced, who are true conservatives, who should be running and be out in the front running against her. They're not even being heard from yet. And so, again, we could talk about Palin stands by her palm, if you don't know what that means. That is that when she was at the Tea Party convention over the weekend, she used notes that she had written on the palms of her hand, and it is a laughing thing. I'm sorry, it's laughable. If we can criticize Obama for overuse of the teleprompter, which he uses to a great extent, how in the world can you stand there and say because she writes answers on her hand like a child, that is acceptable? I mean, we talked about that. There are other stories, and here's another big one. New York City jail imam released in razor blade case. Did you hear this? The man was released without bail. Here is a black Muslim who had served 12 years for murder, who put on a hat, made himself into a holy man, called himself an imam, and was caught smuggling razor blades into a prison in New York City. He was released today without bail after a so-called Manhattan grand jury failed to agree to either indict him or dismiss the charges. I told you this would happen. I told you he'd get one of the cockamamie, cockeyed, psychopathic, self-hating lawyers from NYU or Columbia Law, one of those sick, mentally ill, left-wing fanatics from New York City with a law degree, who would argue in front of the judge, judge, he wasn't going to with razor blades to do any harm. It's part of his religious, it's part of the religious thing to have those kind of razors. You have to dismiss right away. You can't prove any cause and effect that he had razors. He was going to do something. Okay, judge? Okay, have a nice day, judge. We'll see you a little later down at Katz's, okay? You don't like the mime, huh? It's too bad. We're way past the time in America when can I take any more of you sick people who are destroying us and killing us. I know what I'm talking about. You don't know what the hell is going on around you. You just don't know it. You don't know it. Most of you don't know it. You think by being nice to these Islamic fascists, they're going to like you? Look at what Obama got from begging them all over the world. They're thumbing their nose at him. There's only one thing they understand, and we're not doing it. Instead, anyone all the men in America who could actually do something have been deballed by the U.S. military, the U.S. Marines, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. They've all been told to stand down for fear of offending these pressure groups like CARE. Okay, get it through your head. You're facing a life and death struggle, whether you know it or not. What would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? I welcome calls from around America. Today I am especially welcoming San Francisco 860 on the dial because it is a new affiliate in my hometown of my fondly loved and beloved San Francisco. So again, this day only, I think after that we're going to have to start servicing the other markets in America with the free books. The first five callers from 860 in San Francisco will receive a free copy of my new book, Banned in Britain. This is the Savage Nation. There are other stories, I guess, that doesn't appeal to you quite as much. You don't care about an imam who was caught smuggling razor blades into a jail, being released today by so-called prosecutors. So how about this one? Most of you libs are obsessed with psychiatry because you go to them or you are them. The psychiatrists are revising the book on mental illness, the DSM. Do you know about that? There have been widespread reports that doctors promoting the bipolar diagnosis received consulting and speaking fees from the makers of the drugs. Now, how many years have I told you was invented by the medico-pharmaceutical industry in order to push drugs, and that the doctor quacks who push this are on the make and on the take? Take a look at it. It's from the New York Times. I didn't write the story. I only posted it on michaelsavage.com. If you'd like to talk about this or any other topic, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in Ohio. Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, you are a great American. Your show is the only thing that keeps me sane on my hour commute home.
Well, I'm not a great American. I am an American with very strong opinions, but I'm glad I keep you alert.
Well, and not only alert, but awake to the situations that are going on around this country, because you are the only one who sees what goes on around the world. You're the only one who seems to see that, you know, if in 2001, as soon as the towers had come down, if we had gone, you know, because there were 19 Saudis and one Yemeni on the planes that brought down the towers. If we had gone to the capital of Saudi Arabia and Yemen and dropped a nuclear bomb and turned them into a parking lot, no one would be messing with us.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're not accusing me of having said that, because I never suggested using a nuclear weapon on Saudi Arabia or Yemen, did I?
No, not your words, my words, sir. My words...
Well, I never called for such an extreme reaction. You know, each reaction should have an equal reaction. Each action deserves an equal reaction, not an overreaction. So let's not lose our heads here. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, though. San Francisco 860 on the dial. Ramona, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I just want to say that I just really appreciate you being on the radio, and don't feel a lot of times you're feeling down about things, but you're keeping us all with high hopes and everything for the future, just from your knowledge and everything that you have to say.
Well, it's very nice of you to listen. I'm sending you a free copy of Band in Britain. That is right. By the way, if any of my relatives are listening and they call the show, they get two free copies of Band in Britain. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I got my blood work back from the laboratory today. Don't ask. No wonder I had my last pork chop the other night. I didn't even know it was coming. I'm like a walking anomaly. I mean, according to this blood work, I should. I don't know. This could be in the medical textbooks. Each day is a miracle. I don't take anti-cholesterol medication. Every time I've tried them, I have muscle aches to beat the bands. One of the great side effects of Lipitor and the others that the doctors won't tell you about, and you really should know about it, is that they cause deep muscle aches in some people, if not many people. And what happens is the doctors then prescribe another drug to ameliorate the pain in the muscles. You have to understand that there are consequences for medication, and they're not all positive. Some of them are very negative. So sometimes you have to live with what you have and modify your diet and your exercise and not be taking medication. That's my opinion. Anyway, I took it again and dropped it. I dropped these medications. They were causing too much pain. But the blood lipids are upside down. They have been for 10 years. So you got to understand blood lipid chemistry and the lab tests are only predictive. They're not a sure thing one way or the other. And you should also know that there are people with perfectly fine LDL, HDL, homocysteine levels and whatnot who dropped dead at 32 from a heart attack while running over the George Washington Bridge on a July 4th. So there's a lot more to coronary artery disease than simply blood chemistry. At least I tell myself that. And remember, I'm serious. There's so much good literature on B6 that must be looked at in great detail, on niacin, especially these nutrients. I don't want to talk about health topics. I'm just saying it's working on my mind. So let's talk about the bigger issue right now. Iran has promised a punch in the face for tomorrow. What do they have in mind? What do you think they have in mind? If I were in Israel, I would make sure that my bomb shelter had water in it. Do you think he's going to attack Israel? Well, you wouldn't care about that anyway. It has nothing to do with global warming, and it doesn't move healthcare forward, so that shouldn't matter. What else might he be doing? Well, what if he's going to order a massive Chinese Tiananmen Square type crackdown on the opposition in Iran. He believes that all of the opposition to him, Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, is created by foreigners. And if he massacres them, he would consider that a big punch to the West, and nobody can or will stop him. That's because we have the equivalent of Neville Chamberlain running the United States of America, and God knows nothing much better in Europe. And he wants the protests to end. He wants the chance of death to the dictator stopped. And so he has been telephoning journalists and intellectuals in Iran, telling them, stop or get ready for what's coming. Okay? They've gone as far as to replace the plastic garbage cans in Tehran with metal ones. I wonder why. Why would they replace garbage cans made of plastic with metal ones? Anyone have any idea about that? Well, the demonstrators set fires in the garbage cans to combat tear gas. But something else is at stake here. Since June 12th, your friend in Iran, Sean Penn, has arrested slightly more than 11,000 people, Sean Penn. Your friend in Iran, Sean Penn, has arrested more than 11,000 people. More than 3,000 of them, Sean Penn, are still in nightmare cells. All of you Hollywood idiots are responsible for these arrests and executions as far as I'm concerned. So anything might happen tomorrow with Iran, because the Hitler of Iran is very much alive and mentally ill. San Francisco, 860 on the dial. Mike, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you doing, Dr. Savage? Great to talk.
What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I wanted to ask about your Cadillacs. We need to get back to American cars and the old school stuff.
You just want to talk about cars, not about politics, huh?
We need a break.
How'd you like to buy my 65 Caddy, only 54,000 lightly used miles?
I just want to see you drive it around. I got three GTOs, and I just love the old American car.
I'm actually going to auction off that Cadillac and put the money into the Savage Legal Fund, and I was going to do it in the spring when people can actually drive a convertible. It's red. It's a 65. I'm not selling it right now, but I'm going to put it up on the website. It was used in at my last live event at the Concord Pavilion, now called the Chronicle Pavilion, on stage.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
It is the Savage Nation. Of course, nothing has happened with Nancy Pelosi using U.S. Air Force jets to shuttle herself and her family around. It's astounding to me what the kind of garbage is they get away with. Murtha just died, perhaps one of the most corrupt congressmen in American history, going back to Abscam scandal, and not one word in the media about him. They've turned him into a saint. And you have to understand that we're living in a country where the press is owned by the government media complex, which I warned about at a speech here in San Francisco in 1997 at the Commonwealth Club, where I said, beware the government media complex. It's gotten worse, not better. Were it not for talk radio and the internet, there would be virtually no voices outside of the Washington Beltway. And if you want to live in a world that was very much like the ex-Soviet Union, where there was an official publication called Izvestia or Pravda, the truth, you don't have to go any further than ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN. It is Pravda, in fact. 1-800-449-8255 is the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers, and I'm asking you, what do you think the Hitler of Iran is liable to do tomorrow? It's a real problem. Why would he make a threat that he's not going to try to fulfill in the sense that he would lose tremendous face? The world won't believe a word he says after that. They're going to do something. What it's going to be is anyone's guess. My fear is that they're simply going to kill protesters the way the Chinese did in Tiananmen Square. And you know and I know that all Obama will do is say that that's terrible. We're going to go to the UN with this. We know what we have here. We have a paper tiger running the United States of America. He has nothing but enmity towards his political enemies, but he's a total patsy when it comes to America's enemies. Kansas City, Jeff, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. My guess is they may try to shut off the Strait of Hormuz. And, you know,
and cut off all of the oil going in and out of the Persian Gulf. Now, how do they do that? They sink ships in it?
Well, who knows? I mean, the defense over there had a meeting the other day, and we've had situations over there within the last couple of years when George Bush was president where they tried to shut it down, and I just figure with about 15 tankers a day carrying 16.5 to 17 million barrels of oil, which I think equates to 40% of the world's crude, what better way to cripple us?
And that's a very good point. But, again, they would do it by what, sinking a freighter in the strait?
Well, either that or they could mass whatever kind of navy they have over there. I'm not sure what their military capabilities are as far as that goes.
Well, they have nothing to fear from our Navy because most of the officers are in Washington taking diversity training and being taught how to run a birthing clinic on their ships.
Yeah, just what you said the other day. We got meetings on everything else, but what we're going to do about Iran, don't ask, don't tell.
And how to be sensitive to Islamic militants within the military. You don't want to offend them, you see, that's the main thing. And it's a shame when you realize that you have some of the bravest and skilled pilots in the world flying F-18 Hornets off these aircraft carriers. And very rarely do we use them. What's the good of a Navy if you don't use it? You know, the purpose of the U.S. Navy is to extend our power off our shores. The purpose of the, you know, each aircraft carrier has an air force on it larger than any other air force that I know of on the earth. That's what I was told when I went aboard an aircraft carrier a few years ago. Any one of our carriers, I think we have 8, 9, or 10 of them, I don't remember. Each carrier has enough strike force to equal or better virtually any other nation on earth. So the object of an aircraft carrier is to strike the enemy before the enemy strikes us. What in the hell are we paying for these things for if they don't use them?
Well, you know, if you talk to the liberals, you know, they complain about how much money we spend on wars and the military, but I always try to remind them that, you know, the Constitution, you know, it says the taxpayers' money will be used for the common defense of the nation, i.e. military. It doesn't say anything.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I agree with you, but when you build weapons and you're afraid to use them for political reasons, then they've neutralized themselves. In other words, the politicians have neutralized the weapon systems with their negotiations and their endless machinations. That's the problem. It's not the men down on the line flying the jets. It's the men in Washington who won't let them fly the jets. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the other topics. New York City, WOR. Renee, the land of the snowball. What's on your mind today, Renee?
Hi. I just wanted to call to thank you. For a very long time, my son wanted a dog. My husband wanted nothing to do with it. And how he appealed to his senses is by saying to him about how much you love your dog, how you always talk about your dog, how Teddy is a wonderful pet. And it actually worked, and we were able to talk him into a dog.
So now what kind of dog do you have?
We have a Puggle. It's a cross between a pug and a beagle. And it actually, of all the people in my home, I think my husband takes to the dog probably the most. The person who
and it's a little dog, right? It's a little one?
It's a little dog, very lovable. And, you know, everybody...
It seems to bring out in men a kindness that they can't express to their wives and children anymore. I mean, I don't mean to be sarcastic, Renee, but, you know, I've seen a trend in America, which I noted first 3, 4, 5 years ago, of very large men with very small dogs. And I think it's because men are having an increasingly difficult time finding an outlet for their affectionate sides. Women have become hardened and very masculine. I mean, let me lay it on the line. That's what's happened. You know that. Women, once they reentered the workforce, they want to compete with men in work, and they're doing it in every other way, and they're exceeding and succeeding men in many ways. And men are afraid of them. They're intimidated from women by women. Many men, and they don't have anywhere to go with their kindness, I think. And I see a lot of big guys with little dogs.
Well, I've been very lucky. I've always been a stay-at-home mom. So I was really never out in the workforce. So I just think that
Well, Renee, you got to understand something. A dog is a big problem. In other words, you got it 24/7 till it dies, you know. They're very cute for a while, and then you get tired of cleaning up and picking up and watching them, and it's a big responsibility. By the way, it's a very good way to teach children what it is to raise a child, is to get them a pet. It's one of the greatest things to do for a young child, is to teach them responsibility. But you've got to make the child take care of that dog, and you got to say to them, look, that dog is like a child. That dog has to be walked. The dog has to be fed. The dog has to be loved, or it's going to get sick, or it's going to make on the floor. And it teaches the child responsibility. It teaches the child to put off its pleasure impulse. in favor of taking care of the animal, and it trains the child to become a better parent someday, I think.
Absolutely. Michael, can I ask one more favor of you?
I wonder.
I have high and low for the perfect Valentine's gift, and I know my husband wants a copy of Band in Britain. Is it a possibility?
Since you know what? You asked for it. You're a listener. You got it. You got it for Valentine's with love.
Thank you so much.
I also have some great advertisers who are going to be selling. I mean, Pro Flowers has got Pajamagram. We got some of the greatest advertisers in the world. For those of you who don't want to give your husband the book.
Thank you, Michael.
Love you.
Thank you. Now, stand in line. Of course, you are entitled to ask for anything you want. Ask and you shall answer. I'm going through you brought up the dog. I don't mean to get off the Iran thing, but the show is a little bit more than just about dogs, a little personality and personal. I'm going through almost a little bit of a mental divorce from him. He's starting to get to me. I told you the problems with him. I love the guy dearly, but he's 5 years old. Now, let me put it this way. I saw a pillow when I was in Florida not too long ago. You know, pillows with slogans on them? It said, in dog years, I'd be dead. Which I laughed hysterically at myself in front of a store window. In dog years, I would be dead. It's very funny when you think about it. It used to be 7 years. Now, with the medication and the special trick foods, they go on for 20, 21 years. They cost sometimes as much as a person to keep alive towards the end. Vet bills and this bill and that bill. But we all come to take care of these animals and their surrogate children or grandchildren in so many ways. But the animal won't learn to control his peeing. I don't know how to put it. He's good for a few days. Then you wake up and he does it here, does it there in the house. Now, little dogs do this more than the big dog. I had many dogs in my life. My first was Tippy, who bit me in the foot, wrote about it in Psychological Nudity, bit me down to the bone. He was bad to the bone. He was part Chow and totally mad. He had a part purple tongue, and he was crazy. This dog went for my foot when I was 11 like it was a ham hock, and he bit it right down to the bone. I mean, it was really frightening to see your own bone sticking out. And they didn't put him to sleep. My father almost put me to sleep instead. He said, I provoked it to show you what a wonderful upbringing a person can have. But that dog wouldn't pee in the house. I think he was afraid that something would happen to him that was pretty brutal. But the truth is my father taught me how to housebreak a dog, and I did. We all did. He said, you rub the dog's nose in his pee. You do it enough times, and you say, no, don't talk to him. He's not a person. I love how liberals talk to babies. You ever see this? A whole conversation like they're going to make the child smarter. So listen, we're going to go out tonight to your favorite restaurant. What do you think you might have tonight? The kid looks at him like they're crazy. He doesn't know what you're talking about. It's the same with the dog. Use simple terms like no and yes, don't and do. So in any case, the dog, you take the nose and you rub it in real bad. I mean, right into the nostrils, in the nose, down the channel. Do that a few times. I couldn't do that to Teddy because he's too small. So the chow was bigger and tougher. Oh, he got even. But everyone rubbed his nose in it. He took it out on me. But with Teddy, I never had the heart to do that because he was like a little, you know, a little dog. He's a toy poodle. And I never cut his fur. He looks like a bear, a little teddy bear. You know, that's what a poodle looks like if you don't mutilate them the way the French do. They're gorgeous. They look like bears. They're astounding. When I walk with a dog, people say, oh, what kind of dog is that? What kind of dog is that? I say a poodle. Really? Yeah, really? He's just the way they normally are, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I don't know what to do with him. I know that you can train him, but I'm afraid if you bring him to a trainer, they do like trick things with electric shocks that they don't show you. You know, there's something, I know they do something, you know, wrong to the dog. So I don't want to bring him over there. But I've been having discussions with him, like, Teddy, we like you. But I'm telling you, if you don't stop this, something bad's going to happen because I can't take it anymore. I just can't do this anymore. You know, you take him to one house and another. I have another house I went to. I found under the bed he did the bedspread and I'm sick of it already. You got to be nuts to put up with it after a while. I'll be right back.
You know, after a period of shame in the media and in news coverage that allowed a war to happen that shouldn't have happened, I think that now it's a time that, that there can't be the question anymore about whether this is going to fade or not. It's up to the media to not let it fade. It can't fade. These are our neighbors, and these are strong, great people who have been through too much for too long. We cannot let it happen.
There's one of the silliest human beings God ever created, Sean Penn, flies into Haiti weeks after the U.S. military and really decent people have been there giving aid, and this piece of garbage walks in there like he's a god and suddenly makes his pronouncement like, we can't let it fade for our evil fascist nation who conducts a war, or we're making up for it with Haiti. What the hell are you talking about? You know, Sean, you're a laughingstock. And I got news for you, Sean Penn. Not one of your Academy Awards was worth a dime. It was all given to you for movies that were PC by PC people in a PC industry in a PC time. You're not who you think you are. You're a laughingstock, is what I like to say to him if I had a radio show. And since I do, I will. Let's go to the callers. Howard in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Michael, by the way, the demonstrations tomorrow that are going to be taking place in Iran, which are going to number in the millions, are being ignored. Only Berlusconi of Italy and Sarkozy of France in the West have mentioned it. That's why they're trying to divert attention by trying to pretend there's going to be some sort of attack on America. If the real attack is happening in Iran itself with these millions.
Really? How come Obama, the humanitarian, hasn't alerted the world to his concerns about this fascist dictatorship in Iran? Why is Obama ignoring it?
Because Obama is ignoring any despot that comes out of the Muslim world, and he's been doing it all along. This is the and also I wanted to.
You're kidding. You think so? You think that's why there are so many millions of Americans who've turned on him? You think so many millions of middle of the roaders who were tricked into voting for this imposter are finally awakened? You think so?
I definitely think so. Also, the hypocrisy of the wallbanger and Fox trying to pretend that they're trying to arouse a conservative movement in America while they keep putting John McCain on their program.
Who? Oh, the wallbanger embarrassed me. I watched him the other night scanning stations, and I saw the wallbanger start to say, "Yes, George Bush, we miss you." I said, how does this guy stay in the media? I don't understand the wallbanger. He's gotten dumber as the years have gone on.
It's incredible, but the people...
I mean, at least O'Reilly has a degree from Harvard. I may not like him personally, whatever. That's a different thing. It's a competitive thing. But you can't accuse him of being stupid. Wallbanger's a dummy.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Wallbanger's a dummy. I don't care what kind of money he makes. Wallbanger is a copycat dummy.
Anyway, that's all I have to say for tonight. Take care.
All right. Yeah, in other words, tomorrow there's going to be a murder of thousands of people maybe in Iran. And Obama's not going to say a word. He's too busy pushing you should fear Krispy Kremes instead, but dropped in your schoolyard. San Diego, John, you're up on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, Mr.
John,
Savage,
John, go ahead, please. John, what's on your mind?
Got a real great idea for you on housebreaking. Very quickly. Get yourself about a 3-foot pole, you know, like a broom pole. Sharpen it at one end, and then take a rag, pick up the dog's poop, take the rag and the stick over to an area of the yard that you want the dog to go in, and I want you to stake down that rag right into the grass and keep it there. Now,
hold on. Let me see if I follow you. He does go in the backyard. He goes there 99% of the time. In other words, he waits for the morning most of the time. When I first get up, he goes, he can't wait, and I let him out. So he does do that. But you're saying this will reinforce it as the right place to go?
Absolutely. Now, you've got to remember this. This is not 99% that I'm telling you. This is 100%, okay?
Wait, let me say, you take a stick, like a broomstick, you tie a rag to it, and you dip it in his own urine?
Absolutely. Or in his, pick up the poop.
No, he never poops. He never poops in the house. He only lifts the leg. Now, I put the other stick in the other side in the ground. Am I correct, or I put the side with the pee-pee in it in the ground?
That's correct. With the rag on ground level and stake it down and leave it there. Now,
hold on. I want to follow you now. The part of the stick with the rag with his urine goes in the ground.
Goes in the ground and leave it there.
And that you think that he'll know that that's the spot he should go in only?
Yeah, because you're going to take him over there on leash. Don't take him off leash. Take him on leash every single time he has to go outside.
Don't just let him run there? Because he will do it there 99% of the time.
That's why you're having the problem. Don't let him run. You have to take him over on leash. And if you do this for one straight week, I promise you, your housebreaking problem is history. But
I agree with you. I'll probably have pneumonia from it, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's nice 5 o'clock in the morning in a pair of pajamas to walk into a garden with a dog to pee. I love it. I've been looking forward to this all my life to end up like to wind up being a dog trainer at my age. Well, but it's worth it, though, because I don't want one more piece of furniture ruined.
Well, no, but you've got
John, I want to ask you something. Why are big dogs easier to housebreak than little dogs?
Because they're much more intelligent.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, no, I don't know. This dog is pretty smart. I think of all the animals I've ever had, he's about the smartest I've ever had.
They're much easier to work with. Little dogs have a tendency to have a real...
they're sneaky.
Attitude.
They're sneaky. Isn't it true that they're sneaky? Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's
you know, John, I think there's another element to this. I swear to you, I've been thinking about why. And let me run this by you. You're the expert, not me. I think that I've over-babied him because he's so small. I've not treated him more like a dog. I treated him more like something almost like a child. And I think that's why he's turned into this.
Mr. Savage, every dog is an individual, just like you and I. Okay?
I know. Yes.
But the problem that we make ourselves is that we don't treat a dog like a dog. We treat it like a human being. And
I agree.
That causes problems down the road. Okay.
Well, it's like a liberal. The reason liberals urinate on everybody with their mouths is because we treat them like people, not like liberals. I think that if we housebroke the liberals, America might survive, don't you?
Well, sure.
How do you housebreak a liberal who's so psychotic that they could walk around in a blizzard and say it's caused by global warming? Can we tie the snow to their foot?
Well, that might work.
John, thank you very much for helping me. I can't wait to go home with a broomstick.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Snowpocalypses that have been going through D.C. and other extreme weather events are precisely what climate scientists have been predicting, fearing, and anticipating because of global warming. In fact, you could argue these storms are not evidence of a lack of global warming, but are evidence of global warming. Thus, the 26 inches of snowfall in the D.C. area and the second giant storm this year.
Schmuck. Schmuck. What a country. That has a job on MSNBC owned by... Stop for a minute. You know why that putz has a job on MSNBC where he can make such a crazy statement that even a five-year-old knows he's full of crap and wrong on top of it all? I mean, in light of ClimateGate, where East Anglia University has been found to be a corrupt organization that invented the data, that has made millions and millions of dollars on this fraud like Al Gore has, this schmuck says it on MSNBC because it's owned by who? Who owns MSNBC? General Electric. Why would General Electric be pushing the global warming fraud on NBC, on MSNBC, on CNBC? Because General Electric has lined up for trillions of dollars worth of so-called green projects around the world through U.S. government taxpayer-funded money from Obama, which is why General Electric has been supporting Obama all along through the minions of these idiots. Other than that, I have nothing to say on the issue. This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. You know, there's another story I haven't touched on yet today, which I want to talk about. Not just that the moron liberals blame the blizzard on global warming. That's obvious. There's money there. Always follow the money. Total corruption. Deeply in debt, Greece faces a Spartan future. Now, why is this an important story to you? Greece is a socialist nation. The Greek politicians have supported themselves by buying the favor of the voters through their largesse, through patronage jobs, through government programs, through stimulus programs, through the equivalent of TARP and stimulus funds. In other words, they kept the people of Greece at bay by sending them money that they didn't have. In other words, they inherited a debt that's unsupportable. Greece is now bankrupt. And so, therefore, Greece is now turning to the EU, and they're using EU rules, European Union rules, to say to the rest of the EU, you've got to bail us out. Germany may say, oh, I don't want to bail you out, Greece, because you've spent like a bunch of fools. Take care of your own problems. What they don't know is that the EU now, which was opposed by most nationalists in each nation of Europe, is now going to have to pay the piper for their gigantic Soviet Union-style European Union and bail Greece out, which could bring the deck of cards down. In other words, all of Europe can now implode financially because of the debt of Greece. So you say, what does it have to do with me and the price of eggs? It could have a lot to do with you and the price of eggs. Number one, if that happens, the euro will fall in value against the dollar and other currencies, probably as it should. If the U.S. dollar rises in value, you would say that's good for us. I personally like the idea of a strong dollar. Emotionally, I do. Financially, I do. However, there's another side to the story, which is that our products, which are sold abroad, such as Caterpillar, 70% of Caterpillar's products, I understand, are sold abroad. Well, they're sold abroad when the U.S. dollar is weak. More of them sell. If the U.S. dollar should become strong, U.S. products will become weak abroad. So there's always a boomerang effect here in the world economy that we live in today. And how this plays out is anyone's guess. That's why I'd rather talk about a dog that refuses to be housebroken. Austin, Texas, Joanne, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Well, Teddy is my topic. You know what? He is old enough and smart enough to know where to go to the bathroom in the backyard. I think Teddy needs a girlfriend.
Now, how would that stop him from peeing on my couch?
I actually had a poodle, a boy dog, who was fixed, and as he got older, he got worse about that, and I kind of thought it was like marking his territory. So I had some friends who had some poodles, and we just kind of had play days, and it seemed to solve his problem if we did that every few months. He just felt like he was loved.
You mean even though they cut his thing off, he still wanted to do it with a girl?
Well, he'd still do it to a chair of a table, so, yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Just because...
Where is he getting his testosterone from if they cut off the schmegagle?
Well, I don't know, you know, but for some reason, I think they still want to do that.
He must add a hidden store of it somewhere.
Maybe so, and you know, maybe that's just what gives him that little extra...
It could be. I really don't know. Maybe the... I don't know. Where am I going to get a... I am looking for a 10-pound... gray toy poodle to mate him with, because I wanna have five or six of his little ones running around the house. You know what I mean? He could be the lead dog, but I do want more of them. I want to multiply my problems because I'm so fond of this animal. He's such a show dog. I want more of his little things running around. You know what I mean? I do.
Yeah, you need to have him. You need to have him reproduce some of those wonderful
things. I do, absolutely. This thing, the genes on this dog, he's a show dog. Thank you for the call. I don't want to talk about dogs. I mean, you know, the reason I do is because at least we could do something about a dog. We can't do anything about Ahmadinejad, the mad dog. We can't do anything about liberals because they refuse to be housebroken and house-trained. They continue to urinate on America with their stupid ideas, and no matter what you say to them, they keep making these verbal urinations on everybody's head with these lies about global warming and health care reform. You name it, they got an answer for it, and it's always wrong. So what would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? Notes for the Savage Nation, not nuts for the Savage Nation. Let's see. The Army was warned about the jihadist threat at least 2 years ago, but they did nothing. That's why Fort Hood happened. What can you say about that? Nothing. So Fort Hood will happen. There'll be Fort Hood too. And then the defense secretary will say, we're looking into it. We're going to study it. And a reporter will get up, one of them meekly, and say, do you think this is jihad? I'm not even going there. This has nothing to do with religion. I'm not even going there, because the Army manual says we must never draw conclusions. Yeah, okay. I was only following orders. And the orders say we must not investigate anything to do with religion, especially the Muslim religion. Unless it's Christian-related, we cannot relate any violence to religion. Don't play the clip. I know what you want to talk about. What is Iran going to do tomorrow? Answer, who knows? My guess is they're going to kill thousands of dissidents, and Obama will say he's going to go to the UN. That would be my guess. Let's see what we have on michaelsavage.com. Report, John Edwards engaged to mistress. Ho-hum. Why, that's news? Chinese want to use U.S. debt as a weapon. China's military stepped up pressure on the U.S. by calling for a government sell-off of U.S. debt securities in retaliation for recent arms sales to Taiwan. Well, that would be very, very catastrophic, wouldn't it? Pennsylvania Turnpike Commissioner quits over DUIs. Huh. Timothy J. Carson has resigned because of his involvement in two drunken driving incidents while driving operating official vehicles. He was the director of the Pennsylvania Turnpike Authority. God. And here's a good friend of Sean Penn, Hugo Chavez, the dictator, the football from President Hugo Chavez, the football head. Legislators allied with President Hugo Chavez, the dictator, said today that they plan to adopt rules that will punish any lawmaker who abandons the socialist leader. That should make Sean Penn happy. Maybe he can fly there and embrace Chavez and say that fascism is good so long as it's socialist fascism, because then he would be in compliance with his father's teachings. You do know that Sean Penn's father was a big left-wing radical. You do know that, don't you? And you do know that Sean Penn would be nothing was it not for the whole left-wing cabal in Hollywood. You do know that as well, don't you? You don't know any of that, do you? Well, you ought to learn your history before you talk about it. Pennsylvania, Tom, speaking of turnpikes, what's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. I'm calling tonight because I love your show, and I'm from the beautiful mountains of western PA.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, the old William Penn's woods.
There's a lot of us out here that love you too, Michael.
Well, you must be the rednecks that John Murtha loved so much when he called everyone in his district who didn't agree with him a redneck.
Well, he was a schmuck. I keep my Bible in my left hand and my gun in my right.
I love it. The hot land of America, the very people that the elitists fear are you. You are the man that they all fear. You're the man that Homeland Security is alarmed about.
I'm the patriot and the ex-Navy.
Tom, do you know how dangerous you are to Big Sis that you have a Bible and a gun? Watch out that the black helicopters don't land on your farm.
And I was just going to say, I hope you're not flying overhead. I'll crawl in the basement.
So what's on your mind today?
Michael, I got two things. I got a comment and a special request. My comment is, I believe that this Ayatollah guy is going to pull the ultimate embarrassment, not only to Obama, but to all Americans and the world in general. The reason I say this, I think he's going to order a restrike or some kind of incident at one of the four original targets that they picked on 9/11. Now,
Oh, you mean just to show that he can get away with it because of the schmucks that are running our military intelligence establishment?
Absolutely. I mean, they could really make us look like fools.
Oh, my God. You know, that would be horrible. I hope you're wrong. But what's to stop them? An Iranian could get on a plane with a one-way ticket with a bomb ticking in his chest, and they would let him fly for fear that they'd offend the CARE or some other group here in America.
Well, I'm afraid to fly unless I can carry an ice pick in my hip and my 380 in my shoe. I trust.
Well, you know you're not flying too much with those in your pocket because you're not flying in from Nigeria. Now, on the other, if you were a Nigerian, there's a good likelihood they'd let you on a plane.
Oh, they'd probably want me. I have a special request, Michael.
Yes.
Okay. I would like a copy of your article that was about you in the New Yorker, if possible, because...
Oh, the PDF file of Michael Savage in the New Yorker. Well, you know, it was... Do you go to the Internet or you're not on the Internet?
I'm computer illiterate. I don't even own a computer. So the only time I can hear you is... from 6 to 9 on our local...
Okay, well, I can only do this one time, Tom. Because I like you guys, would you please help me with this? Send Tom a hard copy of Bill Me for the... Tom, stay on the line. We'll send you... I have to download it now. Michelle Obama says obesity is a threat to national security, and she's instituting a $400 million a year healthy food financing initiative. which will bring grocery stores to low-income neighborhoods and help convenience stores carry healthier food options. That's really important. Much more important than rooting out Islamofascism in the United States of America. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Bong. It's 24 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Remember, stay away from statins, including Staten Island. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. All right, so Michelle Obama's not wrong. She says the children are fat and that they shouldn't eat pizza and they shouldn't eat candy and they shouldn't eat fries. And she's right. But is this the biggest threat to children's health and life? How about putting tag back into elementary school? How about putting dodgeball back into elementary school? How about letting children run after each other without suing them for making it an unsafe school? So, yeah, all right, wonderful, but it's not the biggest problem children face. I think it's very insulting for us to need the government to fix childhood obesity. I guess parents are too stupid to do it themselves. And I certainly didn't let my children eat all of this junk food. Do you? I need Obama to tell me what to feed the children? No, we need elitist wealthy Democrats from Martha's Vineyard to show us how to feed children. You see, most of America is struggling right now. They don't go to Whole Foods. They try to get a meal on the table, whether it's spaghetti or boxed macaroni and cheese for the children to eat so they don't starve to death. They don't send their children to karate or summer camp, most Americans. The fact of the matter is most Americans are actually working two jobs and they're just not home. So thank you very much, Michelle Obama, but your information is of no use whatsoever. And I also think that these people in the White House have lost not only their touch with the average person, they've lost their minds. I think they should leave it up to the parents. I think taxpayer money, $400 million, can go a long way to feeding actual starving children in Haiti instead of spending it on bureaucrats to tell you not to give your child pizza. It's unbelievable to me the messianic absurdity of these two in the White House. They're so out of their league. New York City, WOR, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mike, I want to talk to you about Sarah Palin that you were talking about last night. I strongly disagree with the points you were making about her.
Well, tell me how we disagree.
Well, your biggest point seems to be like she has no experience or that she's stupid and that she's unelectable. Well, as far as the experience is concerned...
Well, first of all, hold it. She has... I never said she's stupid. I said she looked stupid by writing on her the palm of her hand after so many people on the conservative side have been saying that Obama uses a teleprompter. How does it look when Sarah Palin writes answers on her hand?
Okay, so, well, there was a couple of crib notes she had on her hand when she was talking with the interviewer.
I'm sorry, it doesn't inspire confidence. Let's make believe she's president. President Palin... the Soviet Union or Russia or China, rather, China or Russia just launched an ICBM at the U.S. What are you going to do about it? Hold on. And she looks at her hand?
No, she's not going to look at her hand. She's going to have other people around her who are going to advise her about it.
Well, maybe she'll go up on a mountaintop in the Aleutians and see if she can see China.
Well, that's another thing that you mentioned. She never said that about seeing Russia. That was Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live. She never said that.
Well, look, she's not the greatest brain trust on earth. She's a little too country and western hokey for me. I'm sorry. I don't have that much confidence in her.
If that's your objection, that she's too country and hokey, well, that's not a valid point to say that she's not experienced or that she...
It is a valid point. What, 2 years as a governor of Alaska makes her a presidential material?
Well, that's more so than what about one year as senator for some of these other senators or even Obama, who wasn't...
Oh, wait. You see, you keep comparing her to Obama when I'm not a supporter of Obama. We have seen what a lack of experience has brought to America. So, therefore, we need someone with real experience, not another trainee.
Well, real experience. You mentioned fellows like Sessions and Senator Shelby. And,
yes, that's correct. Wonderful, wait a minute. Wonderful, conservative, experienced, conservative Republican senators.
Fine. They may be all those things you say, but they're not electable because if you ask the average guy on the street who these guys are, they never heard of them.
You have a very good point there. They do not have any public recognition. That is truly a reality. So she has public recognition, but she's not electable. So where do we go from there?
That's it. They never will. Well, she goes to a rally. Thousands of people show up to see her.
I go to a rally, I can get more people than Sarah Palin. I had 2,000 people at all of my rallies. She got 500 to a tea party. So what does a rally mean today? Nothing.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
The more frustrated I get, the more I know I am going to be running. And let me let you know this. The only way I'm not going to be governor next year is at the ballot box, and the only way that I'll be leaving office before is in a box.
That's Governor Patterson of the late, great state of New York State. Let's go to the problem with Greece. Many of you say, who cares? I'd rather talk about dogs or, you know, Obama. But Greek public workers went on strike today over government measures to tackle fiscal problems. In other words, the government doesn't have the money to pay them these absurd salaries for work they're not doing. And so Greece was badly prepared after years of stupid spending. They hosted an expensive an Olympic Games in 2004. You know, the Olympics usually lose money. They failed to rein in a spiraling public debt. In fact, government debt in Greece, pardon me, was worth more than a full year's output in 2009. And it's expected to be 120% of GDP this year. So in other words, the U.S. is moving in the same direction as Greece. Now, Greece was picked out as vulnerable from the start of the crisis. But the government finally decided to assuage the markets, and they wanted to cut deficits. So what did they do? Well, they tried to cut some public sector jobs. And what happened is they went on strike, as usual. Communists and socialists want something for nothing. And they went out and rioted like they've done for 30, 40, 50, ever since World War II. And so now Greece is demanding help from a Eurozone bailout. This would be the first rescue of a member of the single currency EU, the European Union Euro, okay? Although I must say that European funds were used to support Hungary and Latvia as part of the bailouts brokered by the IMF at the height of the credit crunch. But this will be the first rescue of a member of the single currency that we know of on this level. There's going to be an EU summit in Brussels tomorrow, which is interesting. It's the same day that this psycho in Iran is threatening to strike the West. So why does it matter to you? It matters to you because if they bail Greece out, it will lower the value of the euro against the dollar. The dollar will become stronger. You say, isn't that good for me? No, it might be bad for you. Because it could drive up the cost of borrowing in the United States of America. That could mean higher interest rates for the government. It could mean higher taxes for the government. So, in other words, everything is interrelated now around the world. The only people who are going to benefit from this in advance would be money traders who have already probably shorted the Greek currency in anticipation, like the vultures they are. The same people who almost broke the British pound, the same people who provoked Malaysia by breaking the Malaysian currency. I would guess that his computers have been running in overdrive, and he knew this was coming a long time ago. He's the man who put Obama in power. Chicago, Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you for being the only conserved non-GOP hack on radio. I just want to commend you for doing that.
Well, now, wait. I don't want to accept that, even though I'd like to believe it. There are many, many people, particularly on a local level in conservative radio who know what's going on and are very conservative. Unfortunately, in the top three or five, I would say there's only two people who are really conservative.
Dr. Savage, before I get to my point, can I ask you, do you believe in coincidences?
Well, that's too broad a question. What is the coincidence?
Well, here's the coincidence. I'm a numerologist and an astrologer by trade. I look at what's happening on Iran. They're going to do it on the 11th. I look at 9/11. It happened on the 11th. I look at what happened in Madrid, Spain. It happened on the 11th. There's a lot of coincidences in life, what people like to call coincidences, that I believe has to do with vibrational energy. Anytime it's the 11th, 29th on the month, 2 plus 9 equals 11, there's always big tragic events that happen. And I've looked throughout history, Mr. Savage, this is a parallel that I don't think anyone else is talking about.
I'm not. So far, I haven't made a mockery of what you said. You said you're an astrologer. That's fine with me. Okay, I'm one of these people with a PhD in a real science from a great university who also reads an astrologer's predictions on the internet. I enjoy doing both. I realize many religious people don't believe in divination, but that's their belief system. I have my own. I take from many different sources in order to get through this crazy world that we live in. So what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
I believe that they're going to attempt to launch some kind of nuclear event. I think they're going to attempt to launch some kind of nuclear test. I'm not sure if it's going to work or not.
So you think that Iran already has a nuclear weapon and they've been faking it, and that the West, of course, is once again caught dumbfounded because of the idiots who run everything?
That's exactly what I believe. You know, Dr. Savage,
you think they have the rocket capacity. We know that they have a rocket capable of reaching Europe. That we know, and of reaching Tel Aviv and Israel.
They have the test, and I think tomorrow they're going to say, we have the bomb, come try to get us. And I think their benefactors, Russia and China, are going to be supporting them through the UN Security Council. This could lead to World War III, Mr. Savage.
I can't even comment on that. But I want you to go back again to the spiraling of the 11th. Now, 9/11/2001, we all know what 9/11 was. Give us some other events that occurred on 11th. You said the bombing of the Spanish subways was on the 11th?
Yeah, let me go a little bit more into detail of 9/11 so people can understand this cannot be a coincidence. First of all, New York was the 11th state in the Union. New York City has 11 letters in its name. The Twin Towers, looking side by side, look like an 11. The first plane that hit the World Trade Center was Flight 11. I mean, these things keep going.
Wow. Oh, my God. Now, is this unique to your knowledge, or is this something on the Internet that people are aware of?
I'm a numerologist. My name's Gary the Numbers. I do numerology.
God. That's amazing what you just said. I never saw that anywhere.
Now, to go a little bit deeper into the issue, if you look at what happened in Madrid, Spain on 3/11, now, if you notice, 191 people died in that event. 1 + 9 + 1 = 11. This is sacred knowledge the elite have been using, and they don't tell anyone about it. Because as you know, Dr. Savage, knowledge is the ultimate power. And they
Hold on. You said knowledge is power. Now, I want to go back. You said you're a numerologist, not an astrologer. It's interesting to me that many gamblers, in a way, strangely enough, consider themselves, in a way, numerologists. They bet on numbers, don't they?
Well, yeah. Most gamblers are born in the 7th, 16th, or 25th, because 1 plus 6 equals 7, 2 plus 5 equals 7. They have
Gary, do you do this for a living? I mean, do people pay you to run numbers on them and, you know, predict?
Yes, I'm a local celebrity in my hometown city.
Well, you're going to become a major celebrity on this show. I'll tell you why, because I'm going to start to talk with you regularly. I want you to tell me what you think is happening. You actually think it's going to be that big tomorrow?
I think they're going to try to do something on that scale, because you have to understand, this Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, this guy is, he might be the leader, but as we all know, he's a puppet to the mullahs. And
yes.
I believe they're the ones who told him to make this some tragic event happen. And, you know, he's not going to go out there and say nothing's going to happen, because for the simple fact, he's going to lose credibility.
Well, so far, I agree with you. But only tomorrow will tell, Gary. I mean, you're putting your whole reputation online. What if he doesn't do anything dramatic tomorrow? Then what happens?
It's always the big events, what I'm trying to tell you. If you look at a percentage basis, all the big events happen with an 11. Let me explain how the 11 works. Either happens on the 11th, the 29th, because 2 plus 9 equals 11, or let's go to an event like Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City happened 4/19/1995. If you add all of them, 4 plus 1 plus 9, all the way to 1995, it adds up to 47. 4 plus 7 equals 11.
So you're the Nostradamus of numbers.
Well, I won't want to go that far, but...
Gary, what if I give you my birthday? Can you do anything with those numbers?
You're born 3/31/1942. You are a 5 life path, meaning you're very open-minded. You have traveled a lot in your life, even though you probably don't too much. You're a workaholic. Even when you can't do anything, you'll find something to do. You know,
okay. Well, that's all true, but you can know that just from listening to my show. But what do the numbers tell you about the course of events for the future of my life?
This is going to be a good year right after your birthday, because that's when year cycles usually start. Right after your birthday hits, you're going to be in a one-year cycle, meaning you're going to start going through new events in your life. Right now, you're pretty much, how can I put this, you're in a cycle of completion, which means you're pretty much tying up loose ends in your life. After your birthday hits, that's when the new events is going to start happening in your life. Another thing is, you're born in the year of the horse, 1954, which means you have a scientific mind.
No, I was born in 1942.
1942. Excuse me, that's still the year of the horse. I got my math wrong. 1942, which is still the year of the horse. And 2010 is the year of the tiger. And the tiger and the horse and dogs, people born the year of the dog, those are the people that have the best, best vibrational energy together. That's why your favorite animal is a dog, because you're born the year of the horse, and you despise rats, because rat is the opposite sign of the horse.
Okay. Well, what's interesting in what you just said is I said on the air the other day that I think 2010 is going to be a very good year for me, because I've come through one of the most difficult years of my life, 2009, because of the British ban and other things that have happened to me. And I said, I don't want to live like this anymore. It has to end. There must be something good, because I've worked too hard to put up with any more of this kind of pressure on me. I don't deserve it. And I really do see things coming that I can't talk about for this year that are amazing. I have things on the horizon that are going to shock my listeners and the world. I mean, really good things. And I hope that they do come to pass. I don't know what to say.
Dr. Savage, I can assure you, you will have a good year right after your birthday. And the reason I'm doing this is because of your birthday. I can assure
how long
you.
How long am I going to live?
I don't go into that, Dr. Savage. Come on now.
You see, it's funny because fortune tellers won't do that either. They'll never tell you the day of demise.
That is something that does not benefit you knowing. So why should I tell anyone like that?
I want to show you something. I'm a man of science, but I also have a very strong mystical streak in me, and I always have all my life. You know from listening to this show that I spent a lot of time in very strange places working in folk medicine, working with folk healers in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, you name it. I've been to some of the most remote islands on Earth, and I visited some of the most, how shall I say, strange situations on Earth. I've also had 4 or 5 calls with death, where somehow a hand saved me from death in my life, and there's no explanation for it. You remember the story I told about the cliff in Fiji? Were you listening at that time by any chance?
Yes, I was, Dr. Savage.
I was on the edge of a cliff walking in the dark, and I didn't know that I was within 2 inches of falling several hundred feet to the bottom of a cliff. I had to get out of that bure at that night. We were drinking Yangona all night. I just had a call, get out of there, get out of there, get out of there. It's because I felt some dark spirits were going to enter my soul. And I said to my hosts, I have to leave. They said, you can't leave at this time of night. I said, I have to go back to my village. And I left, walked on my own on a moonlit night along a cliff path. The next day, my guide, Domenico, said, you have to come back and see where you just were last night. I was shocked because I was within 2 inches of the edge of a cliff where if I had misstepped, that would have been the end of it. I mean, there are other things, you know, I told you before. I was once hit by a car, bounced in Queens. To this day, sometimes I joke, you know, did I really die and is this all a dream? Nobody knows the answers to these questions, and they sound like a child talking. But you know and I know that there are mystical things that go on in the world for which there are no answers.
Well, I believe that elite hide these answers, Dr. Savage. Let me give you one example about liberals. A lot of people want to know why liberals are liberals. Well, let me give you an example. Barack Obama, born 8-4, 1961, adds up to 29, 2 plus 9 equals 11. He is a Leo, and he's a liberal. I'm going to start giving you examples of how people to the left are always Leos. Bill Clinton, the last socialist president we had, born 8-19, 1946, adds up to 38, 3 plus 8 equals 11. He was a Leo, he was a liberal. Let's look at the Leos around the world. Hugo Chavez, born 7-28, he's a Leo, he's a liberal. Fidel Castro, born 8-13, he's a Leo, he's a liberal. The modern socialist of modern day time, Napoleon, he was a Leo, he's a liberal. As you can see, Leo starts with the L, liberal starts with the L. Now, I'm not saying every single Leo out there is a liberal, but a majority of them are, just like your good buddy Sean Penn.
Unbelievable. Now, what if I add up the numbers in my birth date? What happens? Does that tell me anything?
3/31/1942. So what it basically comes down to is you're a 5 life path. Now, let me explain what a 5 life path is. If you look at the shape of the number 5, it's open on both sides. 5 is also right in the middle of the 1 through 9 numbers. That's why you're very open-minded, Dr. Savage, because you're very open to different experiences and different things because your number is a 5. And if you look at the shape of the 5,
Ever since I've been a child, number 9 has been my lucky number. Ever since there was a carnival that came around to my little slum neighborhood in the Bronx, and they had like a gambling or something, or you had a bet, I always bet on 9 and 1. What is that all about?
The 9 loves the 5. The 9 follows the 5. If you look at the number 9 and you spell it out, N N-E, you'll look at every single letter in that alphabet, in that number, besides the 9 is a 5. N is the 14th letter alphabet. 1 plus 4 equals 5. E is the 5th letter alphabet. So you have a whole bunch of 9s, a whole bunch of 5s around the 9. That's why 9s always like to follow 5s.
It's interesting. I mean, you do this for a living. That's very amazing. So here's what we're going to do, Gary. I'm sure that there are many people fascinated by this and others who are sneering at it. I'm sure you get the same response in Chicago when you do this. But you say you're a local celebrity. Do you call radio shows in your local hometown, Gary, and do this? I don't mind if you do.
No, what I do is I listen to you from a Chicago radio station, but I personally live in Cleveland. And that's what I do. I have a little... The top radio.
Have you ever tried to get onto the golfer show or the wall banger? I bet you've never been able to get through.
The wall banger hung up on me and said I was a moron. And I told him the reason, and him and Rush Limbaugh are both Capricorns, they're both conservatives. And you have to understand that the wall banger has the same birthday as LeBron James and Tiger Woods. So, you know, he's not too bright. That's the
no, it's sad. He does very good for a man with a 50-watt brain. Now, Gary, stay on the line because I want to email you. Also, your name is on the line right now, Gary, because thousands or hundreds of thousands of people have heard this segment, and they're going to say, what is this guy, a nut? Why is Savage having him on so long? Tomorrow is a big day for you, Gary, because if, God forbid, this guy does something crazy, they're going to remember what we just talked about.
Well, I just posted a YouTube video of it myself, and like I said, if you want to Google my name, it's Gary the Numbers Guy.
I don't mind if you promote yourself.
I appreciate that, Dr. Savage. I believe this type of information will be taught in schools.
So let me ask you something. What if I send you my cholesterol numbers, HDL and LDL, and they turn up to be something with a 9 or 11? Is that going to do anything for me?
You know, here's the thing about, being a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be. But I truly believe that no doctor can honestly be called a doctor without knowing a little bit about astrology. Aries always, their main energy point is in their head face area. That's why they get a lot of headaches and migraines all the time.
Taurus, that's 100% absolutely true. Migraines and Aries go together. Absolutely true.
Tauruses always have neck problems. That's why their main energy point's in the neck. Capricorns, they have a lot of issues with the knees. And, you know, this is the type of information that most people will say this is bogus, but, you know, this has been around since the beginning of time. It's because it's not about numbers. No one's worshiping numbers here. All numbers are is basically vibrational energy that people can't see. But if you can read the numbers, you can read the vibrational energy. Like
Gary, before we move on, do gamblers come to you and ask you what numbers they should bet?
All the time. And I tell them, everyone's different. Don't anyone let anyone out there tell you, well, this is a lucky day for everyone. It can't be a lucky day for everyone because everyone has different vibrational numbers. But one number I will tell you.
Gary, hold on. Tell me what day Hitler was born on.
He was born on 4-1889, 4:30, I believe.
Hold on. Go through the break. Look this up for me and tell me what Hitler's numbers tell you. I'll be right back. All right, we took a distraction in the last segment. We have only 50 seconds. Let's go back to Gary in Chicago, the numbers guy. Gary, what'd you find out about Hitler's birth date?
Okay, he's born 4/20/1889. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you about Hitler because I'm going to do it real quick. Hitler, Obama, and Napoleon all have something in common, and it also Saddam Hussein. They're all born under the same sign. They're all born under the year of the ox. Hitler, Obama, Saddam Hussein, and Napoleon.
Well, but that doesn't mean anything. Come on, Gary. There could be some great people who were born under the same sign, right?
That I'm just telling you, the people who were born under the sign of the ox.
Let's put that aside. What do the numbers 4/29/1889 tell us numerologically?
It tells you he is a very, very gifted public speaker, and it tells you he can persuade people to do what he wants.
That same thing could be said of me, or of any liberal on the radio.
Savage. Warning. The
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of the topics that we have been talking about on the Savage Nation that we'll continue to talk about over the next few days. According to Michelle Obama, this is shocking, the greatest threat to America's children is not Al-Qaeda, not an anthrax attack, an EMT attack, or even, God forbid, a dirty bomb, any of those. No, none of that. The worst danger America's children face is the epidemic of obesity. So to Michelle Obama, we should all look to the sky and be ready to grab our children into the bunker, into the, you know, the atomic bunker, in case we see a missile flying in from Iran, because it may contain Krispy Kreme or donuts. And after all, we know that Iran is liable to aim all of these rockets at children's schoolyards filled with sugary treats. Because we understand from Michelle Obama, obesity is the greatest threat. The Army, by the way, was warned about a jihadist threat as far back as 2008. Remember that little incident of the Fort Hood massacre? You remember that little thing where the Muslim major psychiatrist went crazy during a jihadist attack? Well, the Army was warned about this threat at a conference almost 2 years ago. And this gathering was organized by the Army's Provost Marshal. General Army officers were told that there were strategic deficiencies in how the military even understood the overall jihadist threat. In other words, they had their heads in the sand. They didn't want to know there was a jihadist threat in the military, right? That's why it happened. Thursday, Iran is threatening the big punch. What will Iran's punch be? And again today, we continued with a topic that's very controversial, is Palin electable. Do you want a candidate who has to make notes on a poem like a high school student? Who would make a more experienced conservative candidate than Sarah Palin? God bless her soul. Here are some additional stories from michaelsavage.com that we should look at. Muslim students scream killer during an Israel envoy speech in Los Angeles. That's right. Police arrested 12 hecklers who disrupted Michael Oren's speech at California University. California police reportedly made 12 arrests after a speech by Israel's U.S. Ambassador Michael Oren descended into chaos. Who was behind it? The Muslim Student Union. Every university needs one. See, as we stand here pretending the Muslims want to join our melting pot, you have to understand that some things don't melt. The enemy is establishing anti-Western forts inside the universities, inside the mosques, and there it is. Senator Bond calls for Brennan's resignation. You say, who is Brennan? Who is Brennan? Oh, who's Brennan? He's Deputy National Security Advisor. Now, why is he calling for the resignation of Brennan? Well, you see, Brennan said that anyone who criticizes Obama is helping Al-Qaeda. Interesting, huh? You didn't know that dissent was illegal in America under John Brennan. Russian military says no to missile defense. U.S. missile defense plans are a threat to Russian national security. In other words, if we defend ourselves and if we defend Europe from the threat of incoming missiles, it's a threat to Russia. That's very crazy, isn't it? I never heard of that. These are not aggressive missiles. These are missile defense plan. So it's obvious to me that Putin has seen that they can push the school teacher around. And it's obvious to everyone but the school teachers running America. It isn't safe to have a government run by narcissistic school teachers as we have today. You think so? Hillary Clinton to travel to Qatar and Saudi Arabia. You call it Qatar. I call it Qatar. Some call it Qatar. No one knows how to pronounce it, but it's Qatar. 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 Whatever. She's going to go there for some reason. Nobody knows. Oh, she says to boost ties with Muslim nations. More pandering, this time by Hillary. I guess she'll get to wear the headscarf again. She's received her graduation certificate from the Obama School of Bowing. We don't know whether she's packed the blue or the black burqa as well, or perhaps a veil with only eye exposure. Let's keep our eye on the burqa that she wears. Shovel ready? That's right. The morons are accusing climate change or global warming for the blizzard. That's right. As Washington, D.C. continues to dig out from Snowmageddon and another one is hitting, you hear this? NOAA is busy making a climate change announcement that global warming is caused by Barbara Boxer and Al Gore. No, global warming is caused by, we don't know, but, oh, man's carbon footprint, which now somehow by increasing warming, it increases the blizzards. Can you figure this out? Nobody can because it's all bull crap. Obama rejects starting over on health care. What? He's not going to give a compromise? He won't learn from his mistakes? He's going to keep pushing a Soviet or Cuban-style socialized medical plan until he's completely ruined his party's chances of any election whatsoever. It's amazing. It's in spite of all this, the libs on TV still call him a brilliant politician. Well, I don't think so. Is ClimateGate criminal? The British Parliament has convened hearings to investigate East Anglia University. Where is that? We don't know. It's in Anglia. That's where the climate research unit is that claims we're all going to die. The sky is falling from global warming. Well, the Brits are going to investigate them. Hmm. Will illegal Hispanic immigrants determine elections? According to the San Francisco newspaper, yes. A poll concluded that 87% of Latino voters wouldn't consider voting for a candidate who is in favor of forcing most illegal aliens to leave the country. That's not surprising. Is it, Beowulf?
I don't think so. I mean, they
if you were here illegally, would you say, I'm going to vote for someone who wants me out of the country? And yet they have the audacity to say, therefore you have to grant amnesty to all of them.
And they just come here to work.
They all come here to work. You know.
But
well, those
what?
Are the stories on the Savage Nation. I hope that you'll call into the show. Visit me online at michaelsavage.com to read all about these stories and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Recently, we've talked about how our military is getting smaller and more outdated every day. Shocking, isn't it? Here to look at this and how the effects in the Navy in particular are really bad is Mackenzie Eaglin.
Thanks again for having me on, Michael. Since the end of the Cold War, the U.S. Navy has been shrinking. Specifically, its attack submarine fleet has shrunk 53 and will fall further to 41 in just a few short years. Now, by contrast, over the last 20 years, China has dramatically expanded its navy, particularly its submarine fleet, adding dozens of attack submarines in just the last 12 or 13 years total. Now, the problem with this situation is that America's submarine fleet is already too small to meet today's demands, much less those of the future. And we're not the only ones who are talking about this at the Heritage Foundation, but in fact, our friends and allies in the Pacific region have taken note. Australia, India, and other Pacific countries are starting to discuss the shifting balance of power in the region and are responding with their own naval buildups, particularly, again, their submarine fleets.
What do you think we need to do?
What's required here is for the United States to stop and reverse the decline of our fleet. Otherwise, our military superiority there will continue to wane, and this directly affects our security relationships with friends and allies in the region as well as with potential competitors. It limits the Navy's ability to operate freely and protect U.S. interests. Just to give you an example, last May, Australia released its first defense white paper in almost a decade. And what was striking was that Australia, which is, of course, a staunch U.S. ally, appears to be hedging against two things, the rise of China, but also the decline of American predominance in the region. The United States really needs to take calculations of this loyal allied assessment as an opportunity to reassure friends and competitors that the U.S. is in the Asia-Pacific for the long haul. That is currently unclear. Now, we can send these kinds of messages with words and diplomacy, investments and trades, but the most important signal the U.S. can send about its long-term intentions will be derived from how we spend our defense investment dollars. I mean, the bottom line is the foundation of America's commitment can really only be maintained with a robust military presence. You have to be there to be noticed. And then to be able to be present and project power in that vast region requires a big Navy. And instead, as again I said, our Navy is shrinking. Now, Australia's defense leaders are predicting that China's military will be the strongest in Asia by a considerable margin in a short period of time. All of us are concerned, Australia and the United States, including our own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, about the transparency of China's military buildup.
Now, what about China's buildup of its Navy?
We know that they've been funding double-digit increases in their defense budgets for the last few decades, but their claims that this is for a purely defensive force appear to fall short.
Why do you say that?
That the military buildup is going far beyond what China might need to, might be required in a conflict over Taiwan, for example. And again, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs agrees with this, saying that China's buildup is focused very much on the United States. What's happening is that the United States is a blue water Navy, and we're a maritime nation. China is well on its way to achieving a goal of building a credible blue water Navy that can project power beyond its shores, possibly making it a global capability one day. And in order to grasp the energy that China is committing to undersea warfare, during the time frame of 2002 to 2004, China's Navy launched 13 submarines and purchased additional ones from Russia on an unprecedented scale. Between 1995 and 2005, one short decade, China commissioned 31 new submarines. It seems very clear that China intends to become a global power, and it appears to be conventional wisdom that nuclear submarines represent one of China's clearest claims to this status as a great power. Now, Beijing's submarine procurement strategy complements its development of a larger Navy fleet and a maritime force that includes advanced destroyers, frigates, and even aircraft carriers, and even the weapon systems therein, such as carrier killer missiles that could potentially take out United States aircraft carriers, something that's never been developed before in the history of the world. Now, submarines are often dismissed as Cold War platforms by the uninformed. They're useless for today's modern battlefields, but in reality, nothing could be further from the truth. Submarines provide a tremendous intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance capability that combatant commanders in Iraq and Afghanistan are begging for more of right now.
Well, what do we gain from submarines today?
Basically, submarines combine stealth with powerful weapon systems, and they're uniquely suited to fulfill a wide range of missions. This includes strategic deterrence, sea control and denial of friends and enemies, naval forces, battle space preparation, including land forces, again, the intelligence and surveillance collection, special operations landings, and even support for ground operations, including land attack of forces on land. So stealth allows all this to happen. Now, China is going to continue to invest in a robust military, but the decisions surrounding a stable balance of power and a free and prosperous Asia remain with Washington, and I think that's something overlooked inside the Beltway. The Navy's fleet today contains the smallest number of ships since 1916, and I think I mentioned that to you a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The total number of active ships in the United States Navy declined from almost 600 in 1989, it's not that long ago, to less than 300 today. We're at about 282. Now, add to that that many of the U.S., military platforms are reaching the end of their service lives, and they're being retired more quickly than they can be replaced, particularly because of wartime wear and tear and usage. Now, the result of this is a widening capabilities gap and a higher level of risk for those in uniform. They have older equipment and less of it to accomplish the mission the nation asks of it.
Well, why is the Navy on the decline?
The United States isn't, you know, just abandoning its Navy, but we are certainly not building and replacing our current fleet of ships at a rate which we need to meet the demands of the country. So, for example, During the peak of the Reagan buildup in the 1980s, the U.S. was building an average of 23 Navy ships per year. Today, it's 7. We are retiring Cold War-era submarines faster than they can replace with new modern ones that can do more than our older ones. And our current fleet is about half the size that it was in 1965. So the United States Navy is declining in quantity and in quality, generally speaking. And submarines are particularly vulnerable to this decline. In order to prepare for an uncertain future and maintain security above, on, and below the seas, where submarines primarily operate, in the blue waters of the Pacific and Indian Oceans, the United States needs adequate numbers of carriers, cruisers, destroyers, amphibious ships, and attack submarines. This, and only this, will help sustain the balance of power we've maintained for over half a century in the Asia-Pacific region and ensure that the U.S. and its interests and those of our allies are protected for the foreseeable future.
Mackenzie Eaglin, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Michael, for having me on.
Let's move on. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Michael. I want you to know that you are what makes America great. There may be some great Americans, but you make America great, and I appreciate everything you do. I'd like to also make a quick comment. My mother, God rest her soul, loved your – she was from Mount Vernon, New York, and lived in Houston. Mm-hmm. And she loved your stories about New York. It always thrilled her heart.
You know, everybody loves the stories, and I know there's a commonality in it. All races and all religions have stories about their childhood. But I think that what unites the listenership most about my stories, even those who don't like my politics, is the fact that they're from the heart, and stories that are true and from the heart generally ring true.
Felt, Michael. That's the key right there. And I respect your honesty and your integrity, and God bless you.
Well, thank you. That's all a man needs to say to another man.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Another report out of Washington, and now we're hearing that the unemployment numbers are looking better. Really? Tell that to the unemployed. Joining us now is James Shirk, who will take a closer look at this employment report.
Thanks for having me on again, Michael. Most of your viewers have heard about last Friday's employment report that came out, and it's a good news, bad news story. The good news is what happened with the unemployment rate. There's two surveys that make up the employment report. One's a survey of individuals that they ask, are you working or are you not? And the other is a survey of companies. Well, the survey they did of individuals found that the unemployment rate had fallen down 0.3 of a percentage point. So now it's at 9.7%. That's enormously high, but it's not as bad as it was the month before when it was down when it was at 10%. And this wasn't happening because people were dropping out of the labor force and discouraged and not looking for a job. If you're not looking for work, the government doesn't count you as unemployed for obvious reasons. You don't want to say that someone who's retired is unemployed because, yes, they're not working, but they don't want to, and it's not a very good measurement. But in times like these, a lot of people will just leave the labor force and either go to grad school or retire early or give up in discouragement because they can't find a job. Well, that wasn't the reason the unemployment rate dropped this time, and it had been in some of the previous times unemployment had gone down. So this was good, actual, genuine, real good news. We shouldn't start the fireworks going or popping champagne corks yet, because this household survey is not quite as accurate as the other survey, the survey of companies. It doesn't survey as many people. The statistical error is higher. So it's not time to start pronouncing a recovery by any means, but this is a genuine sign of hope that things might be turning around, or at least not getting as bad as they had been.
Well, what's the real news here?
The bad news was the other survey, the payroll survey, did not show an increase in employment. In fact, it showed another 20,000 jobs lost. Although that, you know, putting it in context, is much, much better than the hundreds of thousands of jobs we had been losing. But the really bad news was that they'd updated their the survey. They'd included new information that they didn't have before. The government requires everyone who files unemployment insurance records to report into the government how many employees they hire, understandably. Well, it takes them a while to process information, so they can't use it immediately, but it gives them a very, very accurate count of how many people are working, because by law, everybody has to file these UI records, or almost everybody has to file them. And so they update their figures. Well, they updated these figures to include the new unemployment insurance accounts, as well as some other things, improvements to how they adjust for changes in the seasonal hiring patterns, and other improvements to how they estimate how many companies are born or have gone out of business. Well, factor in all those improvements they made, and it turns out that this recession is much, much worse than we had thought. Before, the government had estimated that 7.2 million jobs had been lost in net in the private sector during the course of the recession. Well, last Friday's figures upped that by another 1.2 million. They now estimate that 8.4 million net jobs have disappeared from the economy. That's why there's 15 million unemployed Americans right now. 8.4 million net jobs. The situation just got even more uglier than we thought. It didn't just get that much more ugly, but we just realized that it's more ugly than we thought. And if you take a look at what's happened in a number of these industries, the construction industry has been particularly badly hit. 25% of all construction jobs have disappeared during the course of this downturn. That's what the collapse of the housing bubble will do for you. 16% of manufacturing jobs have disappeared. But it's not just these sort of traditionally blue-collar industries that have been hurt. Information services, 9% of the jobs have been lost in the course of this recession. Professional and business services, down 8%. Now, financial activities, down 7%. Industry after industry after industry has lost hundreds of thousands, millions of jobs.
Is there any sector where we haven't lost jobs?
And the answer is yes. There have been a few parts of the economy where things have gotten better. Education has added 117,000 jobs, up 4%. Healthcare industry is